Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're off and rolling, a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Glad to have you with us today. I hope that you've been with us all week. If not, we do this every day, every weekday, 11 a.m. right here on the Big X. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Glad you're with us. Let's take a look at the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup for this Friday, June 29th program as we approach July 1st coming up here to start next week. It's hard to believe that we're already approaching basically into the July evaluation period for coaches. So many names, so many prospects out there that Archie Miller is involved with, starting in the 2019 class of seniors to be for next year. And even through the team camp last week, this week following that camp, we've been talking about a lot of names, a lot of new names, younger names from the state of Indiana and beyond that Indiana has shown some interest in, made contact with. So no question, it's going to be a very interesting month. The trouble is sometimes tracking where everybody's at. You've got social media, you've got people out there covering the different beats and the recruiting, for the schools. But sometimes it's you don't always know exactly where Archie's at or where the assistant coaches are at. So that's one of the fun things, is trying to put a puzzle together and see, number one, who's where, what tournaments are the coaches at. And then from there, you can kind of see, who's Archie Miller watching on a more regular basis than others. And maybe assistants are at this player's game that Archie has made himself available for another player. You kind of can see some priorities, really, from the IU staff if you're able to track where they're at. So that's always fun to do in July. Let's look at the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup, though. Today, joining us on this Friday program, once I go through some news and headlines of the day, in segment two, we'll have with us today Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, some IU basketball with him. And then later in the program, we'll switch gears. We have not talked a lot of IU football in the offseason. Matt Weaver, of course, has always been with us during the regular season, during the football season, I should say, to talk IU football, one of the best, if not the best out there when it comes to tracking everything with the Hoosiers on the gridiron, including recruiting. He's all over it, and he's got a nice summer update for us as far as IU football goes. And then, of course, as the season approaches and the regular season begins, we'll begin to have Matt with us on a weekly basis for a segment on IU football each week. So Matt Weaver joining us today. Be glad to reconnect with him after a couple months here on the Hoosier Report. The guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off a box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A couple things out there today, at least as far as headlines go. I'll start with this. This is kind of a feel-good note for a Friday. Nothing wrong with that. Former IU player, obviously he's a beloved IU player and graduate, Yogi Ferrell, paid last night or yesterday some point for over 100 foster care kids to watch the screening of Uncle Drew in North Dallas. I thought that was pretty cool to see. And Yogi, there was a video of him. He actually got up in the theater and talked to the kids and was there with them. So it's neat to see him not only have some success and build into an NBA career as a former Hoosier, but neat and not surprising either, if you know he or his family, to see him do some good things for kids in Indiana and, of course, in the Dallas area where he's playing basketball. A couple other notes, recruiting stuff. Yesterday, in our conversation with Alex Bozich, we mentioned Anthony Leal of Bloomington South. He's a 2020, meaning he'll be a junior when school resumes after the summer break. He has had a busy week. He was at team camp with his Bloomington South team, played spectacular. IU coaches got a chance to watch him for a number of Bloomington South's six games on campus over the weekend, and then he went to Xavier on Monday for an unofficial visit, and he visited Ohio State yesterday for an unofficial visit there as well. So the young prospect gaining some traction, I think it's safe to say gaining some traction with Indiana, and their coaches also gaining some traction with other schools that have been contacting him, actually getting out, taking some campus visits here before things get really hectic for him and most players that are being recruited at a high level with the month of July just around the corner. Also, DJ Carton from Iowa, five-star guard, national top 100 player. He is on campus. He tweeted out earlier today that he was on the IU campus. His official visit, this is an official visit for him, has begun. He was at Michigan for an official visit earlier this week. So with IU, he's now taken two of his five allotted visits. I think he's announced that he's going to take another official visit, maybe a third or fourth school. I don't think he's announced that he's got five lined up, including Michigan and Indiana. So the Hoosiers, Michigan, both in good shape there. Someone that you can expect IU to track very closely in the month of July, along with a number of other players as well. A couple other headlines to get to. I mentioned earlier in the week that Victor Oladipo was named most improved player. By the way, that was almost a unanimous vote. Not quite, but almost a unanimous vote for that award. And I saw Scott Agnes tweet this out earlier. Scott covers the Pacers with Vigilant Sports. He's come on with us a number of times. Scott does a great job. But award season has concluded for Victor Oladipo. You know, we've talked some about how well he's fit in with the Pacers and how Indiana fans, IU fans, have had the chance to enjoy him once again now that he's back in the Hoosier State. But take a look at this. He was a NBA All-Star. He was All-Defensive First Team. He was Third-Team All-NBA. He was Teammate of the Year and voted almost unanimously Most Improved Player. That is quite a award season for Victor Oladipo. You know, a lot of positive talk about him, and people are just happy that he was back, regardless if he had won all of these awards and had the type of season he did or not. But really, some momentum for him as he builds into the heart of his NBA career, and some big opportunities for him and the Pacers forthcoming, I think, over the next few seasons. A couple other notes to remind you of. This has nothing to do with anything IU or Southern Indiana, but earlier this morning, LeBron James's agent did inform Cleveland, the Cavaliers, that he will not exercise his $35.6 million option and thus will become an unrestricted free agent. That was according to Cleveland.com reporting that earlier today. So very interesting as the LeBron James sweepstakes up again, heating up again. We'll see what potentially could happen with him and where potentially he could go, but it's obviously a blockbuster deal, a blockbuster storyline in the NBA. A couple other notes, too, in this segment. Little League Baseball started earlier this week, the District 5 tournament. It's being played at New Albany Little League's facility, which is at Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park. If you haven't been there, it's a beautiful facility off of Charlestown Road, right behind Northside Christian Church. Kevin Hammersmith Memorial Park opens July 14th. The park itself, the Little League facility, obviously it's been open since back in the spring for their season. But the park is home of Romeo Court. It's got an amphitheater that will be really nice with some events. But I mention that because the Little League games are going on. Jeff in New Albany actually squared off earlier this week in the 12-year-old division. That's the major division of baseball that can eventually advance to play in the Great Lakes Regional or out at Williamsport in the World Series on ESPN. Jeff won it last year, that group, primarily the same group as 11-year-olds. They made a deep run in the state tournament. We had a lot of those games right here live on the Big X as 11-year-olds. And then Monday night, New Albany won 7-0. That's just a pool play game, so really not a very important game in the scheme of things, because likely New Albany and Jeff GRC will meet again in the championship if all goes well. I'm sure that Silver Creek and Charlestown and Clarksville and other District 5 teams might have something to say about that. But interesting to see a little bit of a change there. Great pitching performance Monday by Chase Lush. And I stopped by the park. We'll be broadcasting some of the games here over the next week and a half or 2 weeks here on the Big X, as we do every year, just to kind of check out the new park and the lay of the land and where we'll be set up at. And it's just amazing, the crowd that comes out. I know it was New Albany, Jeff, and I know it was kind of the opening night Monday, but amazing the crowd that was there, and the new park is beautiful. So if you're looking for something to do and you're a baseball fan, you miss the high school season, there will be some interesting games coming up here over the next couple weeks. And starting later next week, we'll try to keep you a little more posted about the championship games and who is winning those games, who is playing well. And, of course, we'll follow some of the teams on to their respective state tournaments as well, and have some of the district championship games as well right here on the Big X over the next couple of weeks. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill, where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune, their Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk some IU basketball. We'll talk about the upcoming summer recruiting period for college coaches and more. And then still ahead after Jared, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. We'll have a summer football update on IU. We'll talk some recruiting. We'll talk about the team for next year, specifically the quarterback situation, and a lot more. All coming your way on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Friday edition of the program, joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, who is with us every Friday, no matter if it's in season or out of season, to keep tabs on IU basketball, as so many of our listeners just dying to catch up on the latest and hear what Romeo and the freshmen have been up to. And I think, Jared, as we talk about the freshmen a lot, and as we talk about Juwan Morgan and, of course, returning and being the possibility of him being just a huge piece for the Indiana team again next season, we forget at times about some of the other important players on the roster that at certain times last season, some more consistent than others, were important, very important to the success that IU did have last year. And one of those players you guys spent a lot of time talking about in your most recent edition of Assembly Call Radio, which is now available as a podcast, and that's Zach McRoberts.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The last two seasons under two different coaches who valued completely different things in basketball players, it seems like, Zach has come as a walk-on who wasn't expected to do much and played a pretty significant role, certainly more than he was expected to do at the start of the year. You know, in Tom Crean's last year, he ended up playing about 25% of the minutes. You know, part of that was due to injury, but still, you know, no one would have expected that. And last year, he played almost 50% of the minutes and was a starter and one of the most consistent, players last year for Indiana. So it's going to be interesting this year with more young talent on the roster and more offensive talent. I think it's easy to look at Zach and see some of his offensive limitations and say, well, you know, he's just kind of a placeholder until someone better comes along. And certainly, you know, we all hope that we reach a point in Archie Miller's tenure where, you know, you're not relying on a guy who walked on to play significant minutes. But we should also note that Zach McRoberts isn't your normal walk-on. You know, he had a scholarship to a Division I program in Vermont that was top 100. He was a successful high school player, so he's not the typical walk-on. And I think he's a better overall basketball player than people give him credit for. He's well-known for his defense, but his defense, you know, when you really dig deep in the metrics, is probably better than most people even think. And then, you know, when you combine that with his shooting, if he can be a guy who's more comfortable stepping up and taking more shots and can hit him at, you know, the 39% clip that he hit three-pointers at last year, you know, he can really be – they always talk about 3-and-D guys in the NBA. He can kind of be a D-and-3 guy for Indiana, you know, where he's really out there, you know, playing strong defense, helping to anchor a defense that is going to be young and inexperienced with a lot of lineups next year. You know, they're going to feature some young guys. So if he can do that and then still be a threat on the offensive end, I think he's a guy who should still have a very prominent role. And when you listen to Archie Miller talk this offseason, he is not bashful about his appreciation for Zach and everything that he does. And so I think someone is going to have to really beat him out and beat him out in terms of awareness and hustle and all the things that he does and on the defensive end to steal those minutes. And I just, you know, I don't see that happening. I think Zach's going to play a prominent role all season long.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, one other player as well that I had in my notes to mention, and I haven't said this on the program yet, but at the team camp, watching a lot of the prospects play that IU coaches had their eyes on, you know, the players were working the scoreboards and some were shooting on side goals, and it really added to the environment, especially if you're an IU fan, and I'm sure those young players, whether they were being recruited or will ever be recruited by Indiana or just enjoyed the weekend playing with their high school team and some big-time facilities with those players around, that stuff adds to the atmosphere for simple summer league-type basketball games. But one of the things about a freshman that I noticed, Jake Forrester, you know, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about him. He's not from Indiana. He doesn't have the resume that a Romeo Langford obviously has on a national level. He doesn't have the love affair maybe that IU fans have with Robert Phinisee and what he was able to do in his high school career from West Lafayette, kind of stealing one out of the backyard of the Boilermakers, and likewise with Demezi Anderson, someone that, you know, led his team to undefeated season and just had a terrific career. But man, when you see him, it's, I guess, the first time I had seen him in person was at the team camp. He has, for an incoming freshman, a really good body when you think about what it takes to play, even as a youngster, even as a freshman, a sophomore in the Big Ten Conference. He's got a look to him. He's got an appearance to him that doesn't look like your typical freshman, and that has me kind of wondering now more than ever if maybe he can't find more minutes and more opportunities to help the team than I initially thought he might as a freshman.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. I have not seen him in person, but I know just when you look at, you know, film of him, when you look at pictures of him, like he has a very athletic-looking body, has very athletic-looking legs. And you're right, he doesn't seem like the typical freshman, although, you know, fewer and fewer freshmen these days are kind of the, you know, the awkward, skinny, gawky guys that we remember them being. I mean, a lot of these guys, shoot, I mean, Jake played at one of the top high school programs in the country where, you know, Mo Bamba was and Cam Reddish was, and I'm sure those guys had a pretty substantial weightlifting program. And so a lot of these guys are coming in much more developed physically. In fact, we've heard that Robert Phinisee, you know, really tested out well. So a lot of these guys are coming in more physically prepared to play. I think what will be important for Jake, and I kind of share your curiosity about how much he might be able to get on the court because of the uncertainty about Deron Davis's health, you know, and then just the question marks about the other big guys. We've heard good things about Race Thompson, but we haven't seen him play. You know, Clifton Moore has a lot of talent, but we don't know if he's going to be able to, you know, to do the things he needs to do to get on the floor consistently. So it feels like there's an opportunity there, but Jake is also a freshman, you know, who's going to be learning a brand new defensive system that, as we found out last year, there are growing pains for new guys who are learning that system. And, you know, but what I like about him and what I've always liked about him as a recruit, and it goes back to what I was just saying about him playing with Mo Bamba and Cam Reddish and a lot of those guys, is he understands how to play with good players. And he's already a guy who understands how to be a successful role player. And I don't think a lot of guys coming in from high school who are used to being the superstars of their team necessarily have that just kind of ready-made mentality to be a good role player. And Jake has that. So I think he's got some things. You know, if he can come along and, you know, and be productive offensively in terms of getting offensive rebounds and running the floor, and then, you know, just not be terrible defensively in the pack line, I think he's got a chance to get some time. But, you know, that's without seeing him play and, you know, with everybody else and in practices. And so a lot of those things are going to shake themselves out, you know, as the team starts playing and you see what lineups gel together. But I certainly think physically and just from the mental standpoint of understanding how to be a role player, I think Jake's got some advantages, you know, that maybe most freshmen wouldn't have coming in.
talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. You can find out more about the great podcast and the Assembly Call radio show that Jared and his team produce at assemblycall.com and at Assembly Call on Twitter. DJ Carton is on campus, the five-star guard from Iowa that Indiana obviously is very interested in. It's an official visit. I'm so used to this time of the year saying unofficial visit, but it is an official visit, which means he has 48 hours to kind of be wined and dined by the IU coaches on campus. He was at Michigan earlier this week, and I get a sense just from what I read and what I hear out there that Indiana and Michigan, both real players in the opportunity to land Carton. And, you know, you never know, kids get on these official visits. They're much different than an unofficial where the coaches can, you know, again, take you to dinner and be hands-on a lot more in showing you the campus and explaining how you would fit into the program if you did make that decision to become an Indiana Hoosier. You never know what can happen after an official visit. If something clicks and the player, his family, like the campus, like the coach, like the opportunity that they're presented. And I'm talking about Michigan here as well. They just obviously got the same opportunity to have DJ on campus earlier this week. But I do get a sense that IU and Michigan definitely at the front of a whole bunch of other schools, some that are real serious, others that are maybe trying to figure out if he's their priority or their second priority. But I get a chance, a feeling Indiana has a real chance for DJ Carton.
Well, it certainly feels that way. You know, again, getting an official visit at this time of year, it certainly suggests that DJ is serious about, you know, doing more than just kicking the tires on IU, but really kind of taking it for a test drive. And certainly Archie Miller and the staff is serious. And I think both Indiana and Michigan doing the official visits this early, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Like, it can be a big reward, especially if you can, you know, lock him in and get that early commitment. That would be huge. But it also seems a little bit risky in that, you know, you have this official visit, and, you know, if you don't get the commitment or it starts to drag on, you don't really have that chance later on once he's heard a lot of other pitches and been to a lot of other schools, you know, to get him on campus and make that big wow pitch, like, this is it. So I think if you're Indiana and Michigan, you look at this as, okay, you know, here's our number one pitch. This is what we got. You know, let's get the commitment, because obviously either Indiana or Michigan would take a commitment on the spot from a guy who's become a five-star point guard and is, you know, probably the best ball handler in the Midwest in this class. So that's kind of the risk reward of what's going on. So I think it's a really big weekend for Indiana, and you know, we should know more about his recruitment, you know, in the days and weeks to follow, and hopefully it leads to a quick commitment. And really, hopefully it leads to a quick commitment either way. I mean, I think if you're Indiana, and if you don't get the commitment from him, you know, right now after the official visit, you know, you might almost be better served, you know, if you don't think maybe there's a chance for it to come later, which, as I said, is probably unlikely if he's not going to do it after the official visit, then maybe it's better for him to just commit to Michigan, and then you can move on and really target the other guys instead of being in limbo. You know, that's kind of where the struggle can be a little bit with recruiting, you know, as you're trying to prioritize and you're trying to wait and other guys are being prioritized by other schools. So I think he's one of the most important dominoes to fall in this class. And so I know we all look forward to seeing what happens here in the aftermath of this visit.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Okay, the July recruiting period is the first of, what is it, three or four weekends? I think it's three weekends in July that they can hit the road for four or five-day periods, but nonetheless, it's just around the corner. And I'm curious, there's such a wide number of options on the two, and again, it's IU interested, and it's reverse interest, the kids interested in Indiana as well, but it seems to be a wide variety of options on the board right now for Indiana and the coaches as far as who they'll watch, who they'll track in July, who will become priorities, who will become secondary options. Of the 2019 guys, both in-state and out-of-state, if you're Archie Miller, if you're on his coaching staff, who are some that you're going to be excited to watch most this July and hope that they become Hoosiers? Is there a couple names on there that, especially of the very talented number of players that IU is involved with, you'd like to see become Hoosiers?
Well, I mean, Trace Jackson Davis and DJ Carton are the clear priorities. You know, they fill positions of need. They're elite players. So, you know, you're certainly excited to keep building that relationship with them as long as you need to get that commitment. And then you've got some other you know, high five-star guys that you're involved with, and Matthew Hurt and Trenton Watford and Keon Brooks and all those guys, and so you want to keep doing that. And then I think it's about, you know, really trying to get some backup plans in place. I mean, if you can get four commitments from five-star guys, you know, and Indiana's recruiting that many guys, you would certainly take them, but you have to assume that that's probably not going to happen. So, you know, can you go out and learn more about Brandon Newman and Armon Franklin, guys that Indiana has already offered, but certainly it would be good to keep learning more about them. And then, you know, you've got a guy like Samari Curtis, I think is his name, but decommitted from Xavier and is going to visit. He's a top 100 player. You know, it's not sure how much the staff has seen him, if they've seen him at all, since he was already committed. So, you know, I think you certainly want to be visible and keep building the relationships with the guys that you're involved in and the high-priority guys, but you also want to make sure that you're covered if those guys commit elsewhere. So that's why recruiting is such – it's so important to have a plan, to have a strategy, to be organized. And, you know, it seems so far like Archie and his staff really do that well. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do and what news comes out, and if Indiana can lock up one or two guys and, you know, kind of get the anchors to their 2019 class in place, because it's always better to get that done early than to – you know, have to sweat it out, you know, into the fall.
Absolutely. Jared, I'll close with this today. I mentioned earlier at the start of the show in the headlines about Victor Oladipo, just what an award season it's been for him following a big year for the Pacers. Here's a quote I saw, and I think you actually saw, you retweeted this. Victor Oladipo on what he tells potential free agents, quote, "If they want to come to something bigger than themselves, come to Indiana." That's why people love Oladipo. It's not just his talent on the floor. It's not just his great personality. It's not just that he was a great IU Hoosier, but it's that type of thinking, which you don't see or hear that much when it comes to top-level NBA talent.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was actually my banner moment on this morning's show. You know, Victor Oladipo is just a special guy. He's got a special mentality, and he gets what basketball in Indiana means at a deeper level. You know, what it means to the people of the state. He may be from Maryland, but it doesn't matter. Like, he gets it. And I just think, you know, you look at that and you look at a guy like him, and there aren't many guys who have that kind of personality and can, you know, kind of build a personal brand like he is and be into music and, you know, kind of be doing all these things personally and just becoming a superstar in his own right, and yet still be the quintessential teammate. Like, he's got that combination of, you know, humility and effervescence that you just don't often see in guys. And that's part of what makes him so special. And I think to have him, you know, basically right now be the biggest basketball superstar in Indiana because of what he did at IU and because of what he's doing for the Pacers, and for Archie Miller to have that to point to, you know, and if anybody, you know, forgets why they came to Indiana or what the bigger goal is, just be able to say, hey, look at this. This is Victor Oladipo. Look at everything that he has done. And his mindset still to this day is, let's be about something bigger than ourselves. Like, I think that's a great thing for Archie Miller to have. And it's a great mentality for guys who look up to Victor Oladipo to aspire to. So, you know, look, ever since he got to Indiana, he just got better, and he continued to impress and impress the more we got to know him, the more we got to see him play, and that has not changed in the NBA. It just continues, and he's clearly got a ton of physical gifts and remarkable athletic ability, but his most special trait is that mentality, and it's what has led him to success and really is what is, you know, a big part now of what's driving this resurgence for the Pacers. And it's just really fun to watch, both, you know, as a fan of basketball and just as an IU fan who feels such a connection with him and still appreciates what he means to IU basketball today.
Absolutely. Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, assemblycall.com, at Assembly Call on Twitter, always with us Fridays to talk IU basketball. Jared, thanks for helping us close out the week with some great IU hoops talk.
Sounds good. My pleasure, Matt.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and switch gears, some IU football summer update with Matt Weaver. We haven't had Matt on in a while, but a lot to get to, from the quarterback situation to the team for next season to all kinds of commits here over the last month or so. It's been a very busy time, and we'll take a long look at IU football for next season with Matt Weaver when he joins us next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. A familiar guest, Matt Weaver, is with us here on the Hoosier Report. Matt is a constant during the college football season, talking a lot of college football and, of course, IU football with us. And joining us today for a summer update, we're going to cover some recruiting, which has been very busy the last month or so for IU and its football coaches. We're going to talk about the quarterback situation, the team for next year as a whole. And nobody does it better than Matt. If you don't follow Matt at Pegs.com, or at MB_Weaver on Twitter, you're missing out on all types of IU football information. Great stuff in the off season and the season. And Matt, it's great to chat with you again.
You too. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, let's start with the recruiting stuff. IU went on a tear. Just a number of commitments over a couple of them, you know, multiple commitments in a day at times. Which I know it's the time of year when those things can start to roll in, but it's very clear that the IU coaches have been hard at work as far as figuring out some things for the future.
Yeah, it's, you know, like you said, it's kind of that time of the year. I mean, it was maybe a little bit more of a flurry than I can remember, but it's not unusual for June for there to be several commits. I mean, there's in past years, Indiana's gone into the month of June, and June is when the football camps happen. You get guys on campus. You know, they may not come for camps. They may just come for visits, but it's a time where you get a lot of guys on campus, a lot of your top guys. And so, you know, but to see, I think it was 9 in 4 days, that's a little bit more than I can remember, but it's not unusual for them to go into the month of June with 2 or 3 commits and then come out of the month of June with around where they are now, around 10 to 12. So getting 8 to 9 commits in a month is not completely out of the ordinary, but to get that many in 4 days was definitely a little bit different, but obviously big for the program.
Talking with Matt Weaver of Pegs.com, far as recruiting goes for IU football and that flurry of commitments that you were talking about, what are the ones that you're most excited about that the staff has been able to land?
Well, I think when you go to, and even going back to the 1st of June, which obviously wasn't in this flurry, but Bo Robbins, on June 1st, the four-star DN from Carmel was a guy that they had targeted since he was a sophomore in high school. So they've been recruiting him now for a couple years. That was a really big get for the staff. In-state guy, one of the top players in the state, you know, Mark Hagan, who is from Carmel, recruits that school, was the lead recruiter on that and did a great job. So, but then in the flurry of commits when they got the 9 in 4 or 5 days, you know, the first one probably Jeremy Passmore is one that stands out because he was a guy that they really recruited hard. He's from Miami. He's actually friends with James Head, who's currently on the team, was, you know, signed last December and enrolled early. They work out together in the offseason down there in Miami. So, and you know, he's a athletic defensive lineman that in a couple of years as he gets bigger should be a real force for them. Michael Kadick, I think I'm pronouncing that right, K-A-T-I-C, the offensive lineman from the Pittsburgh area. That one was, I knew they were in good shape there, but he got a Pittsburgh offer about a month ago, so I kind of wondered if that might be enough to keep him close to home, but that was a really big get. Offensive line's big in this class, and getting a guy like that who, you know, he's athletic, he plays tackle in high school, but he'll be a guard, maybe a center in college, but athletic, can get out and pull. Don't want to compare him to say he's Dan Feeney, but he kind of reminds you the way he can get out and get downfield and get to that second level. So that was a really good get. Gary Cooper, the tight end from also down in Miami, he's a teammate of Passmore at Columbus High School. 6'1", 240, so not prototypical size, but really kind of a freakish athlete. Played basketball originally and then switched to football when he realized that was his future. And like I said, doesn't have that prototypical size, but he's going to be a matchup nightmare at tight end. You could use him as an H-back. Kind of a fullback, split him out wide, put him on the end of the line with his hand in the dirt, but just kind of a matchup nightmare. So those are probably three of the guys. I mean, I really like all the commits they got, but those are kind of the three that really kind of jump out on me. Dorian Jones also is another guy, the linebacker from Florida, athletic guy, will play that spot that Tigray Scales, you know, played so well, you know, the stinger spot. So those are kind of the guys that, you know, like I said, they all look like good prospects, but those are the ones that kind of jump off the page for me.
talking IU football with Matt Weaver. I want to talk some about the quarterback situation for next season here in just a moment. But first off, one of those candidates, I think you would say, for quarterback was Reese Taylor, Mr. Football out of Indianapolis, Ben Davis. And I saw an Indianapolis Star story with Zach Osterman yesterday where it talked about the fact that Taylor is going to be moved to cornerback, so he'll be playing behind in the defensive backfield rather than behind center, which is a big change for a guy who, you know, has played at the level of Mr. Football out of our state. Here's a quote from that story from Reese Taylor. He said, "Right now, I'm playing corner, but wherever IU coach Tom Allen needs me, that's where I'll be. I'm going to play as much as I can, anywhere I can." I just mentioned in the last segment, it's a great quote from Victor Oladipo that you don't see from that level of an NBA player. And that, to me, coming from a Mr. Football, a very talented kid that had many college options, is exactly the kind of student-athlete you want at IU or at any school that you follow or talk about. So I just thought that was very impressive as far as his character goes, not even talking about his talent on the football field.
Yeah, and I was there when Reese was made available to the media, and you know, the plan kind of all along, and it's really Reese wants to be a corner. He wants to play defense, but he also would like to maybe have a little bit of a role on offense. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him, whether it be as kind of a wildcat quarterback, maybe use him as some as a slot receiver. He's just so dynamic with the ball in his hand that I think you got to try to figure out a way, if you're Indiana, you know, where it's so hard to you know, it's hard to go on 14 play drives. We talked about this in the past. You got to have some big plays on offense, you know, to turn the field or to get a touchdown, and he can give that to you. But, you know, corner is where he thinks his future is, if he has any shot at playing past college, you know, at the next level in the NFL. But I think him on offense is something you could definitely see. And I'll be really surprised, actually, if you don't see him some on offense in his career in Indiana.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, on IU football today here on this Friday edition of the show. Quarterback situation for next year. Let's talk about it. What are your thoughts? Who are the major candidates? And is there a leader at this point, or I guess is it way too early to know that?
Well, I mean, I think you start with Peyton Ramsey, because he's, you know, for all intents and purposes, the returning starter. I know, you know, Richard Lego was kind of starter at the end of the year, but that was more due to, you know, Ramsey got banged up in that Maryland game, got a knee injury and was kind of limited. But, you know, and he was a starter in spring, so, you know, I expect him to be with the ones when they start fall camp on. I think it's August 2nd will be the first practice. But you bring in Brandon Dawkins. We've talked about him, you know, in the past when they got him and when they were recruiting him. You know, you don't bring in grad transfers normally to sit on the sidelines. Now, he's not going to be handed the job, but he's an experienced guy. He brings a level of athleticism that really at the quarterback position, other than, you know, he's more athletic than Ramsey arm-wise. I haven't seen him in person, so it's kind of hard to judge, but I would say his arm's at least as good as Peyton Ramsey's, if not a little bit better. So I think he's definitely going to be right there as a favorite to win the job. It's just how quickly does he pick up the offense, and does he get, you know, kind of in sync with the with his teammates? And then Michael Penix, I think ideally the staff would probably like to redshirt him, but his ceiling is really, really high. And, you know, if at some point, if he looks like he could be the guy, I mean, the bottom line is you got to win games. I mean, this, you know, after a disappointing season last year, they need to get back into that mix to go into a bowl game. And you got to win games. And if Michael Penix is that guy that helps you win games, you know, then I wouldn't put it past him to play him. But I ideally you'd like to redshirt him. Now, the good thing is that we talked about this in the past, too. The rule where a guy can play up to four games was passed and still preserve his red shirt. It'll be interesting to see how the Indiana staff approaches that. We haven't had a chance to talk to Coach Allen about that, and that's probably something we'll talk to him next month at Big Ten Media Days. But how do you approach that? Do you play some guys? I mean, obviously, you'd like to get them some experience, but you can still redshirt them as long as they don't play more than four games. And it has nothing to do with an injury. This is just a new rule the NCAA put in. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of use guys, and at quarterback, to me, is a spot where Penix, you try to get him in some games, get him some game reps, and still preserve that redshirt would be really a big deal.
Talking with Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, he's the man on IU football and giving us a full rundown on everything from recruiting to the quarterback situation for next season. You know, we've talked a lot with Mike and Jeff and others on the basketball side about the importance of Cliff Marshall, how visible that he's been on the basketball side of things, just at the team camp last week. I mean, it's clear that he's interacting with the players, at least from what I could tell, as much as anyone. And that was even obvious, you know, in person at those games that they hosted. But with that being said, I know there's a fairly new strength and conditioning coach for the IU football side of things. And we talk about bodies changing and gaining weight and weight programs and agility, different measurements and baselines that can be taken on for basketball purposes. I'm sure that obviously in a physical, tough game, grinded out game like football, you know, the health of your body, the well-being of your body, your strength is important there as any other sport possibly. Tell us about the newer strength and conditioning coaches and what they've been up to with the players in the off season.
Well, the new strength coach that they brought in, you know, back in January was Dave Blue, former player. Is from here in Indiana, Avon High School. Came to IU from Notre Dame. Was not their head strength. They set up a little different up there, but not their head strength and conditioning guy, but really heavily involved. And then before that was the head strength and conditioning coach at IMG Academy, which is almost like a college atmosphere down there. But he's done a great job. I mean, I really noticed it in spring ball, even though it only been about 3 or 4 months since he'd been there. You could tell the difference in a lot of guys. Just they look different physically. Some guys you could just kind of see a difference of how much bigger or how much more mass they put on. And then they've been doing a lot of tweets. The other guy that they brought in was named is Dr. Matt Ray. He's basically a speed specialist. You know, that's what his expertise is in. And they have really, they put out stuff about how they can time these guys, how fast they run. And I think they said last year they had 2 or 3 guys that ran faster than like 21 miles an hour. How they, you know, figure that out is above me, but they can. Now, so far this year, there is, I think it's got to be like 20 to 30 guys are above 21 miles an hour. And anything over 22 miles an hour is considered NFL type speed. And they've got, I want to say, around a dozen guys, 10 or 12 guys, and I could be wrong on that number, that are above 22. I mean, it's amazing how much it's just changed in, 6 months. It's basically they've been here 6 months. So going forward, it's going to be really interesting to see how this team, and especially this class that just came in here in June, these newcomers, these freshmen, which is really, we talked about an athletic class with a lot of speed, and how much faster can they make some of these guys? And Jalen Williams and Reese Taylor, who we've talked about, you know, you can go on and on. Devin Matthews, the DB. I mean, you just go on and on and on with the guys that they brought in. How much more explosive can they make them? Coach Blue and Dr. Ray, and they've seemed so far, it seems like they've done a great job. The players seem to love working with them. It's been hard. The workouts are obviously are really hard, which is the way they're supposed to be, but the players seem to really be, you know, buying in and doing a great job with it. And I think this hire was one of the more underrated additions to this program. But I think down the road, people are going to look back on it and be like, wow, this was a turning point for Indiana football.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, IU football, the topic today. A quick look at the schedule. Everything gets underway for IU in 2018. September 1st with a game, I love it, down in Miami to start the season against Florida International, Virginia, Ball State. Those are also early season games before Big Ten play starts later in September on the road, or actually at home against Michigan State. As you size up the schedule, both the non-conference part of the schedule and the Big Ten teams Indiana has been matched up with this year, how do you see the schedule? How does it rate to recent years? One of the more tougher ones, or is it favorable for Indiana with what they have?
Well, I think it's definitely more favorable than last year. I mean, you're playing a lot of the same teams. I mean, you're playing obviously all the Big Ten East teams, which is arguably the best division in college football, with Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State. Obviously, Maryland's improving. Rutgers is even starting to improve a little bit. So it's a really tough division. And then you got Virginia again this year. You know, you trade out Ball State or Georgia Southern for Ball State. Charleston Southern was obviously added because of the whole hurricane thing in Florida International, so you got them back on the schedule. But what makes it, to me, a more favorable schedule is the way it sets up. I mean, last year, if you look at the schedule, you had Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, all basically in the first half of the season. I mean, and you start off with Ohio State, so you really got tested early. It was kind of hard for that team to kind of get on a roll or kind of get maybe some confidence. This year, you go down to FIU, which won't be an easy game, but it's a game that Indiana should win come home, like you said, against Virginia and Ball State. Then your first really, to me, really, really tough test is Michigan State on September 22nd. Team that Indiana's matched up well the last couple of years. Now, they're going to be good. They got a lot of returning players. Then you go to Rutgers, go to Ohio State, and Iowa home. I mean, there's a real chance, in my opinion, that's, what, 7 games? 5-2 is doable. It's not going to be easy, and I'm not guaranteeing it, but that's 5-2 is doable. If you come out of that 5-2, you're in great shape in the second, you know, last 5 year of that season. You know, you got to get a college to get one more win, but you could have, be looking at a 7-win season, and if things fall right, if you can pull an upset somewhere, maybe you get to 8. But, you know, that first half of the season is going to be important for this team because that's where they got to make some hay, so to speak, and get some of those wins, you know, so then the second half, if you have some injuries or you have some hiccups, you know, you're not behind the 8-ball and you've got to win out like they've had to the last couple of years to make a bowl game. But the schedule is not easy, but it does set up, in my opinion, a lot better than it has definitely than last year.
Talking with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. Before we let you go, Matt, I'm always curious, high school football 49 days away from today on this Friday. We'll be covering our first official night. There'll be some scrimmages and other things before that of high school football here in Southern Indiana on the Big X. You, because of how closely you track the recruiting for Indiana, and of course your background, I rib you from time to time being from Columbus East and how dominant they've been in the Hoosier Hills Conference and, of course, over some of our local teams that compete in the Hoosier Hills Conference down this way. You got a real good vantage point as well about the state of Indiana and what football talent is like and what to expect for next season. We've talked some in the past about where does Indiana fall as far as being a football state and having Division I talent year in and year out to other Midwestern states. But what do you see for this upcoming senior class and just generally high school football across the state this year? Are we looking at a strong year? Are we looking at a lot of talent where we'll see a lot of big names rise to the top and go on to play high major football?
Oh, yeah. This 2019 class in state is good. I mean, looking at it on our site, there's four guys that are four-star by the composite rankings. Then you got some guys that are right there below it. I mean, you've got guys who are committed to Ohio State, obviously to Indiana. Purdue's got a good one. Iowa, I mean, a couple guys actually committed to Ohio State. Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Michigan State, Duke, Northwestern. I mean, it's once again, it seems to be a strong year in the state of Indiana for recruiting. And you know, it shows with the programs that are coming in the state to recruit. You know, Ohio State can recruit anywhere in the country and they're coming in here. Michigan State's a program that can recruit anywhere in the country and they're coming down to try to get players. Iowa's another program that can recruit nationally. And they're coming in. Wisconsin has got a player. So, you know, obviously Notre Dame, with their tradition and name recognition can go anywhere. So past years, the top four or five guys are probably pretty similar. Where this class seems to be maybe a little bit better is there's more depth. There seems to be more Power Five high-level players as you get down into the teens and even getting around to, like, the top 20, whereas in the past maybe those 15 to 20 guys are more MAC-level players. This class seems to have better depth than maybe in the last year or two, and it's showing up with where these guys are committing to.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, with us talking IU football. Matt, great to reconnect today. I always say, the voice, in my opinion, for IU football out there. You do a great job with all aspects of covering the IU football coaches and program and recruiting, and really a one-stop shop for everything. Thanks for coming on, and I look forward to talking with you a little bit more often as we approach the season. And then, of course, once the season gets here, we'll have a regular segment each week, which I look forward to.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, helping us close out this Friday edition of the program here on the Big X Sports Radio. A couple reminders. Don't forget, we've got some Little League Baseball coverage coming up. I think we'll start later next week from the District 5 tournament. Then the following week, we'll have as many of the championship games and some of the semifinal games as we can get on the air. So make sure you are with us for that. Little League stuff, always fun. It's community-based sports. Just a great time of year, great crowds. You get to see some of the future kids It just seems like a couple years ago, and it really was a couple years ago, we were broadcasting Tucker Bivin, who committed to Louisville yesterday, who joined us on the Hoosier Report and some of those New Albany teams. And Jeff last year had a team that made a nice run deep into the state tournament. So we've got that forthcoming. It's always a fun local opportunity to fill a void in the summertime when the high school stuff is off and IU football and basketball aren't here yet, and we look forward to doing that. So I'll give you some reminders next week of what we've got coming. We always get great listenership from families and grandparents and people out of town, and of course that continues even more so as the local teams move out of the area to state tournaments. So a lot of stuff like that coming up here over the next few weeks. Also, a couple other things too. Don't forget that high school football, as I have mentioned, is not too far down the line. That will be coming up before you know it. I said 49 days from today will be the start of the high school football season here in the state of Indiana, here in southern Indiana. So stay with us for that. Lee Kelly and I next week will begin previewing some of the big football, you know, headlines, storylines, you could say, for the 2018 season. We've got some plans to do a big kickoff for the high school football season with our friends at Zaxby's. We'll be making some announcements about that soon. And, of course, the Big X will be the home for high school football every Friday night with complete coverage of that. Also, a shout-out to the Indiana Fusion Elite 07 softball team. They won the Indiana USFA State Championship this past Saturday. A lot of local girls on that team, and congratulations to them bringing a state championship back to southern Indiana. Whether it's Little League or travel sports or high school sports, of course, which are the pinnacle, always great to see state championships come back to southern Indiana. That's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend. And don't forget, if you missed a show, a segment this week, you can always look us up on podcasts. We're available on SoundCloud. Just search the Hoosier Report, or you can type in soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search us on Apple Podcasts. It's a great way to get our program every day. Just type in the Hoosier Report. While you're there, please leave me a rating and a review. It'll help us reach other people that might be interested in an IU basketball, Southern Indiana sports podcast. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday, 11 o'clock. Great lineup coming up next week. Look forward to talking with you then right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.